Blog Talk Radio.
Infantry.
Yeah.
One thing I learned from Peter one time. Never deny. Tempted to catch amnesia sometimes. Never deny. Even when my faithful come a cry, yeah. I never deny. When I confess, I put my neck on the line. I never deny.
Yeah, I told you I would never fold, even in the cold. I never lose my hope, back against the ropes. The sun's flower from the concrete is where I rose. It's just perspective, ain't no location for highs and lows. I can't believe a lie no more, the truth is in my soul. Holy Spirit, hold my pen, I'm writing with a ghost. The war is on, my hands are up, I'm fighting on 10 toes. I ain't come this far, fight this hard to make myself known. And I can't switch sides no more, the fork is in the road, yo. And I'm trying to eat, yo, my plate garnished with goals. I keep my faith to Yahweh, keep subscribing to the code. Through grace, I'm hanging in there like a closet full of clothes. It's nothing you can promise me to leave that light alone. It's honesty over me trying to be like these clones. I can't turn my faculties over for their control. Them are those who want us dead, they either on parole. Never know what rejection is until you've been opposed. Won't understand God's reflection till they fill you with holes. I share my views and get accused of me trying to impose. They push their views through schools and news shows. Persecute the youth for drug use and then powder their nose. Lies and fabricated truths, but how will we know? Unless the Father left us clues inside a book of quotes to show the greatest of all time is a lamb and not a goat. Whoa.
One thing I learned from Peter one time. Never deny. Tempted to catch amnesia sometimes. Never deny. Even when my faithful come a cry, yeah. I never deny. When I confess, I put my neck on the line. I never deny.
Yeah. I'ma do this right, that's a sacrifice. They can miss me with the fame, miss me with the hype. You want me to play a game with the things I write. But I was never into playing games with my life. They say there's money on the line and I'm holding the dice. But I have no price, my soul to God, my body cold as ice. Now some might play dumb for 20,000 likes, yeah. But what everybody like won't help me sleep at night, no. Am I called or am I not called to be salt and light, yeah. Did I use God to get me to the table? Now I'm like, I can't reach a broader audience by saying Christ, So I'm supposed to start avoiding him all day and night, huh? Do I have the Holy Spirit or poltergeist? Yeah, I slimmed down, not from New Orleans, I'm still a soldier right here. This is spiritual warfare that I'm supposed to fight. In Jehovah's sight, all my sinners are oversight. Yeah, my feet planted on a rock like soda and ice. When the money low, I'm still on go, his grace will suffice. There will come a time I can't purchase the merchandise. Keep this six absent from my flesh, that's a word of advice. Chasing bags to get you tagged like Judas type. It's more than just a ticket on your head for running through the light. Yeah, careful not to worship the golden calf. Don't deny, never get caught running with the bullseye like Pippin and Mike. Ah.
One thing I learned from Peter one time. Never deny. Tempted to catch amnesia sometimes. Never deny. Even when my faithful come a cry, yeah. I never deny. When I confess, I put my neck on the line. I never deny.
The Father, he gon' tell the children what nobody knows. He'll paint the picture with the scripture if we listen close. Give me lesson, give me blessing all throughout my walls. What should've killed me has built me and made me whole. What should've killed me has built me, I'll never fold. What should've killed me has built me, I'm solid gold. What should've killed me has built me, I won't sell my soul. What should've killed me has built me, I'm fully known. No, and ain't nobody tell me it be like this, no. Got the pressure on me, but I won't quit, no. There's an open door, but I won't dip, though. Cause the Holy Spirit told me don't trip, yo. I got you. That's why I never fold. I got you. Don't ever let me go. Never let me go. Don't ever. never let me go. Don't ever let me go. That's why I never fall.
All right, all right. Welcome, 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 everybody, to another episode of Waking Up Israel Radio Show. I'm your host, Micah Israel. And, well, today is not a pop-up. I mean, we're normally scheduled to be on Sundays, but I was literally going to cancel the show. And some brothers came to me and like, hey, man, let's have this dialogue. And Sister Thayer would not be joining us. And so, I, it's all good, man. That's what we're going to be doing. We had this little dialogue, man, because I was just going to simply... because I'm in the middle of driving. I'm a trucker by trade, everybody, and so I'm doing both. And it just didn't seem very convenient today. But nevertheless, where the wheel is there, it can be done. And these brothers, they want to have the dialogue, and, hey, I'm all for it. Nevertheless, man, let's get started and open it up. Let's see. We got 936. I know that is none other than Brother Ronald right there. We open up your line, brother. You are live on air.
Shalom,
brother.
How everybody doing? Shalom.
All right. It's good to hear you, brother.
Yes, sir.
All right. Okay. Let's see. We got an error code 229. Let me open up your mic. See here. All right, there you go. Live on the air.
Hey, shalom, Micah. I didn't leave you. You thought I had left you. I didn't leave you. I'm here.
Okay. All right, that's Brother Mickey L.
Yeah.
Well,
just want to let the all audience right, well, know the proper pronunciation of my name is like me, like it's M-Y, but it's pronounced me. Mikael.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Because my name, I'm going by Brother Micah, and so when I see your name, right. I be thinking it's pronounced kind of the same, but it's Mikael. Okay, gotcha. Okay, Mikael. That's something to think about. Maybe the name Micah isn't. The way, I might not be saying it correctly. I don't know. That's something to think about, man. Okay.
No, can you hear me?
Go ahead. Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Oh, Micah comes from Mikael because it's related to the angel. And his name in Hebrew is Mikael, but Micah comes from him.
Ah, okay.
So
gotcha. Okay. Gotcha. All right. Here we go, man. We can have an open dialogue about whatever, man. Whatever y'all would want to talk about. Brother Ronald earlier was speaking about the new covenant, and that's kind of the new covenant is something that we've been kind of hitting on quite a bit here lately. And I feel pretty good about hitting on it, and sharing. This iron sharpens iron at the end of the day, y'all. I would like to put forth some scriptures out there and hit on that. But we don't have to. Whatever y'all want to talk about, we're open to whatever, man. We are living in these last days, so there's a lot to talk about as far as, wars, upcoming wars, and what it's subject to lead to, World War III, And because we're living in those days, man. I heard that the dollar is dwindling away, so we're going to go into a where everybody have these cards, instead of cash. And so we're going to go to this digital age. And, I mean, a lot's going on. So, but I know that we just want to start at the basics. A lot of us want to just keep to the basics, and have a foundation that we all can agree upon, and then we'll work forward like that. So it can be like that. It's all good, man. Whatever y'all want to talk about. All right, Brother Ronald, Mikael.
Go ahead, Mikael. So Ron had he had hit me up about a couple of hours ago, and he and we've had some studies together along with Ye Cove. I don't think he's present with us at the moment. I think he's coming. Is he coming a little bit later on, Ron?
Yeah, he's coming on later on. Go ahead, get started.
If you want to add anything before I get started, Ron. Anything in particular?
Go ahead.
So he asked me, you know, about, you know, speaking about some things and, you know, what would I like to talk about? And it's a lot. I could, you know, talk about who America is. This is with scriptures. This has been, this can be tying things in real time. I can go into several things. So when I was thinking on it, because it was last minute, it was like go into salvation. Because that's what you need to tell them about. And, you know, the scripture says that we inherited lies. And a lot of those lies comes out of mainstream, Eurocentric, Vatican-owned, and I say that with a lot of emphasis, Christianity, because the Vatican owns it. There is proof all over what they do. And, you know, just saying it's very, very deadly. And so, you know, if by permission of Mika, who is the host of the show, and me being a guest, you know, I want to be respectful. But I do want to say this. This what I'm going to bring out. I have investigated this. I have put it to, like, testing metals, like reading books, radio shows, TV programs, going into assemblies. And when I say assemblies, I'm talking about so-called Christian assemblies where there are pastors. And when I studied this out, and let me give a little bit of my testimony, I started very, very young asking questions. Very young. I came out of a Baptist church background. My mother never had to tell me to go to Sunday school. She didn't have to tell me to get involved with the choir. I was very, very active about this. And when I used to leave Sunday school in my early teens, probably 11 or 12, breaking through, I used to always ask these questions, and I used to always look up in the sky. Of course, I didn't know the Father's name then, but I know his name now. So if you hear me saying Yahuwah, I'm talking about the Creator, the Father, the one that's all knows, the omniscient one. And when I say Yahusha, I'm talking about the one who came and died for us, who came through ancient kinsman redeemer to redeem us, and who has been given all authority over all flesh to judge and to give eternal life. And when I say the Ruach HaKodesh, and I may just say it for simplicity, for the audience sake, the Holy Spirit, or the set-apart spirit, and he's a real person, and they each have their function. So I used to ask questions. I remember one of the Sunday school lessons was on Noah's Ark. And I remember I was walking home. I said, at that time, I said, Lord, I was like 12, 13. I remember like it was yesterday. I was like, Lord, if that was me back then, if Noah came and told me, you know, to do what I need to do and repent, I said, I would have been one of them.
you know, I said, why are we not seeing that today? I'm asking these types of questions, like 11 and 12. Why are we going to the church for the sake of the conversation? Because I don't use that word. But why we go to church, do this singing and praising, give to the offer plate, listen to a preacher sermon, and go back out and do what we normally do? I'm asking these types of hard questions, because what I was doing without realizing it, looking at it from hindsight 2020, I was comparing what I was reading in the scriptures to how we carry our life on a day-to-day basis. And stuff didn't add up. So I kept on this journey, you know, asking questions. So when I got in my 20s, just give you my testimony. I was dating this girl. She, you know, Jehovah's Witness. And she treated me real bad, and that's when I got my heart broken. But I remember it was the spring of 1993, around March or April. And it was a beautiful night. I was looking up in the sky, and I asked Jehovah. I was like, I said, what is the truth? I said, what is the truth of salvation? I said, all these denominations can't be right. And don't ask me. I think I would only have to say it was a set apart spirit that was convicting me and showing me that. But I said, there's got to be just one truth. And what is it? And I'm talking about when I got on my knees, I always, always asked that question. I always, no matter what I was doing, I kept asking that same question. 2 years later, exactly 2 years later. So in 93, my best friend lost his mom, and then 2 weeks later he lost his younger brother. So I was attending this Pentecostal. They said it was non-denominational, but it was Pentecostal because the practices were the same. And I was watching some prophecy material, and I remember, you had Jack Van Empe, you had these guys, they were on there, and they were talking about prophecy. So I remember asking, I would like to love prophecy and end times and stuff like that, which is called eschatology. And eschat is a Greek word, which means last, or dealing with last days, or prophecy, or when you who are foretell things with 100% accuracy and how they unfold and how they're hidden in the scriptures. That's eschatology. Alright? So so one day I was on my way upstairs, and this sister was coming downstairs. And so she stopped and she said to me, she say, "You've been looking for the truth about salvation, right?" So, you know, I'm thinking, because you caught me off guard, right? Because I'm like, who? A woman, I don't even know who she is. How you read me like that? You understand what I'm saying? It kind of caught me off guard. And I was like, yeah, I have been. She said, well, the Lord, he wanted me to direct you into that. So we had set it up. And so I had met with her. And she had brought this Vines dictionary. She brought this Brown's Drivers and Briggs, which I have these too. All of these study tools that goes into the Greek and the Hebrew. So she presented to me just some well-researched material. And it was dealing with what's called, on the Sermon on the Mount, the straight gate and the narrow way, and the wide gate and the broad way. And it was laid out, word study for word study. It was going into the Old Testament. It was breaking stuff down like a puzzle piece. Like you got a 1,000-piece puzzle, and you take this piece over here and you put it with that piece. And that's why the scriptures say line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, right? And this is how it was put together. So I started studying this. I was like, okay. Then she had some, at the time she had some VHSs, which became the DVDs. Well, the DVDs was coming out at that time, so we had DVDs. So this is like mid-90s, y'all, coming on up, right? So I started studying this. I was like, so then I left and I moved to Florida because I have family members in Jacksonville, Florida. And so I kind of put it off a little bit. So I was kind of, you know, doing my little thing, working out or whatever. But every time it just would not leave me alone. I just kept getting convicted. Like, you need to go back and check this out some more. You really do need to research this. That was a ruach. He was just nudging me. This is what you've been looking for. If it's wrong, you're going to see it's wrong. But if it's right, you really, I couldn't shake it. And meanwhile, people was asking me to go to church. I pushed them off. I'm like, nah. That's okay. So when I moved to Florida and I got really situated because I was staying with my dad, I started ordering, you know, study tubes. I started checking out stuff. And there was a video that came with it that the guy who had done this thing, and I'm going to tell you because I know this is not taught. Let me say this. Let me lay this down. We have to understand that Hasatan, Satan, please, which means deceiver, he's a master deceiver. And what we should not ever, ever do is take him for granted. Pay attention to what I'm saying. He deserves the respect for what he is. Because when the scriptures say he is the father of lies, this is what that word father means. I mean, he is the originator. Ain't nobody better than him. When the lie came in, when Yahuwah created him, that was his function. No one can stand above him or below him. Just like Yahuwah is the father of truth, and just like truth emanates from him, and there's no darkness in him, Hasatan is on the opposite end. And that's what his function is. But here is where the rubber meets the road. His function is for those who rebel against the Son. And he has every single lie you want. If you want ice cream, he got it. You want cherry on top of it, he got it. Whatever your itching ears want that deals with the carnal man, he gonna give it to you. Because that's his function to do that. He is a master of distraction. He is a master of distraction. He works. His purpose is to keep a person from coming to the knowledge of the truth. And I cannot put stress on how serious it is. And it's hidden in the scripture. So if it's okay with Micah, I would love to get into this particular study. But I do want to caution everybody, it is not for the faint of heart. If you want the truth, as a matter of fact, I don't even want you to accept anything I'm saying. I want you to be like the Bereans. I want you to get in them scriptures and dig in there by any means necessary to disprove what's gonna about to be presented to you. Because when I get ready to go into it, I'm not gonna leave no stones uncovered. There's gonna be straight up word studies. There's gonna be tools you're gonna need to get in there. Just like if you build a house, I don't care what you do, what profession you have. There's a language that goes with that profession. That only that people that do that type of profession will understand each other. It's a common language in any craft that you take. When it comes to them scriptures, it's the same thing. Except when I came to find out that I was an Israelite from the southern tribes of Judah, I was like, oh, I got the Hebrew now. Well, let me go in a little bit deeper behind what I studied to see exactly what these words really mean. You know what happened? All it did was put icing on the cake. All it did, you got that hammer sitting up there, you take that hammer, you hit it one last time, and you flush it. That's all it did. So I'm going to give you some tools before I go into this. Now, I use, his name is Jeff E. Benner, J-E-F-F, A, like Alpha, Benner, B-E-N-N-E-R. I have an ancient Hebrew dictionary. Now, let me say this. Yahuwah gives understanding. The Ruach HaKodesh is the one that gives understanding. Everybody's gift is different. But do not be intimidated to dig into them scriptures, because it is Yahuwah that gives understanding. Flesh and blood can't do that. So I'm putting this encouragement here to let you know that everybody listening to the sound of my voice have the same ability to have other abilities probably better than I have. Well, you understand what I'm saying? According to what he's giving to you, to get in here and study this out. But if you count your soul worthy, you won't make no excuses. That's all I can really say. So without that, let me go. So I have the Ancient Hebrew Language in an Alphabet by Jeff A. Benner. You can just type his name up. You can do a search on him. I have his lexicon. I have his Hebrew Bible. I also have what's called the Brown, Stravers, and Briggs. These books I've been had, they're in really good order because I take good care of them. I have a Vine Dictionary. If you really want to get into learning Hebrew, which you really want to do that because the scriptures was written in Hebrew, including what's called the New Testament or the Brit Hadashah, when you start getting into the Greek, it'll say of Hebrew origin. It was written in Hebrew at that time. So you really want to get back, you want to get into the ancient language, you want to get into the ancient culture, because the Bible is not a Western book. By a long shot, it's not a Western book. It's an ancient Near Eastern book. But what happened was during Constantine, the Vatican, when they did the papal bulls, like in the 1300s under Pope Bonifaci, when they went in and they forced us into what we was doing because of our rebellion, and we went through these slave trades and stuff, we got indoctrinated. Some of us start asking questions. It doesn't mean just because he took us into captivity that Yahuwah's grace was not still sufficient for those who start asking questions. So I want to put that out there before we get into this study, if I have permission by Micah, because I want to respect, you know, the host of the show. Anything you got to say to me, Micah or Ron?
Yeah, I want to go into a scripture before you start.
Okay. Go ahead.
Jeremiah 32:27.
Okay.
Can you read that?
Hold on. Yeah, hold on. I was drinking some water. Jeremiah 32:27?
Yeah.
Okay. Behold, I am Yahuwah, the Elohim of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? And he's asking a question.
Appreciate that with Numbers 16:22.
Numbers 16:22. All right. And they fell upon their faces. This is Bar Midbar, which means in the wilderness. Numbers 16:22. And they fell upon their faces and said, the Elohim of the Ruach of all flesh, or the spirit of all flesh. Shall one man sin, and will you be wroth with all the assembly?
I just want to make a point. Now, we know that Israel is the chosen people. But the Bible said he's the God of all flesh. You know what I'm saying? Not just the Hebrews, but all nations. He's the God of all nations, all flesh. So they can receive salvation too. But there's going to be different positions in the kingdom of Yah. They're going to be on the bottom, and we're going to be on the top. So I just wanted to bring out that.
But hallelujah. So yeah. So in this massive awakening, even on the continent. And let me go ahead and say this too. If you guys heard of Hebrews to Negroes, Ron Dawson, when this thing went down with Kyrie Irving, a lot of things that was going on in Hollywood and stuff. I work closely with him. I actually do. I feel Yahuwah with all my heart, but I do work with him with diaspora work. I also do work out of Nigeria in Nugu, Nigeria. It's called We Building Bridges. You can find it on YouTube. So for diasporans that want to, especially we're about to go down in America, that's a whole another study right there about who America is and stuff. Which Yahuwah has graciously shown me that for a very, very long time. But yeah, you know, if you wanting to move or set up a, to buy property and stuff like that, we get into all that too. But I do want to put that down as well. I'm a single parent widower, and I raised my son. He's about to be a senior, so I've been 6.5 years a widower, and you know, so I kind of want to give a little bit of my background. But yeah, he came to us first, you know. And that history, our history is the scriptures. He talked about us not only when he led us out of Egypt, but throughout up this point to where we are right now, even up to the end of the age, up until he set up the millennial kingdom. So we're like in the timeline of prophecy as it's being played out. So, you know, bringing that into a little bit of real time. But, yeah, what he was just pointing out here in Numbers chapter 16, so for those of you who are familiar with it, Yahuwah was getting ready to judge the false prophets right in here. If you read that, matter of fact, verse 21 says, "Separate yourself from among this assembly, that I may consume them in a moment." And they fell upon their faces and said, "O the Elohi of the Ruach of all flesh, shall one man sin, and will you be wroth with all the assembly?" And Yahuwah spoke unto Moshe, saying, "Speak unto the assembly, saying, Get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram." And Moshe rose up, went unto Dathan, and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. That word elders means the zakim, because they had authority. And he spoke unto the assembly, saying, "Depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sins." So they got up from their tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, in every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tent, and their women, and their sons, and their little ones. And Moshe said, "Hereby you shall know that Yahuwah has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then Yahuwah has not sent me. But if Yahuwah make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up, with all that appertains unto them." That means their children, their wives, their sheep, their goats, their tent, and all their belongings. Because all their belongings was defiled. And they go up and they go down quick into the pit. "Then you shall understand that these men have provoked Yahuwah, as we do to this day." And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all of these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the assembly. And Yashareth and all Yashareth I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't apologize. It's just that. It's just that. We think that Yahuwah.
Hey,
go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to make. Is Brother Michael still there? Brother Michael, you still there, Brother Michael?
Yeah,
Brother Michael,
still
there?
Listening. Yeah, can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Just making sure. Because I know it's your show.
All right.
So,
No. Go
Brother
ahead.
Brother Mikhail.
Yeah,
Brother Mikhail. So, a lot of people don't, they don't believe that hell is real, that Sheol is real. Now, and that's why I tell people, just because you get buried in three or 6 feet, that ain't nothing. You know, so he's saying he opened up the earth and swallowed them down alive into the pit. Now, that, come on, man. Hell is real. It's a place, too. A lot of people don't believe that. They don't believe that, you know, when they die, you're going to go somewhere. You know what I'm saying? He said he opened up the earth and swallowed down everything. Their house, their children, little children. Come on, man.
Yeah.
This guy ain't nothing to play with, man. We can't. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people don't believe.
Yeah.
They don't believe that hell is real, that Sheol is real. That's how I wanted to make that comment.
No, it's fine because, see, that was a physical destruction. But what do you think their souls in? What do you think?
That's
you
what
think
I'm
that,
saying.
Do you think that their soul was going to be one of the ones that when Yahusha got ready to come, that they was going to be going where Yahusha was going? No. Because, see,
right,
Yahuwah
right.
is like this, and when it uses, like for here when it says, if you read down, because it says, in Yisrael they were round about them, fled at the cry of them. For they said, let the earth swallow us up too. That's fear. We should be fearing Yahuwah. We should be terrified to the point that whatever we got going on or whatever, listen, the Ruach HaKodesh does the convicting. Everybody knows what they got going on. But Yahuwah knows too. Ain't nothing hidden from his sight. And in the time frame that we're in right now, which we are in the last days, Yahuwah is going to be holding us accountable. He's already doing that, to be honest with you. What you think this COVID thing was all about? That was judgment. The New World Boys and Girls, they were just testing the global population to see, you know, where the state of the mind was, see other people was in.
Could you give me a scripture and let me know where their soul is at when he did this?
Oh well,
today,
I'm gonna get into that right now. I just kind of want to get the audience to know who I am and where I'm coming from. So what I think what would be good is explain to the audience. Now, what is normally taught, there's two camps. Some teach that once saved, always saved, and some teach that you can lose salvation. Now, this is going to be ironed out in this discussion. The first thing I need to go into is what the word called conversion. Now, this book might be out of print. I've been had it for a very, very long time, but it's called All the Doctrines of the Bible. It was written by Herbert Lockyer. But I would like to read his comments because, and also, I would like to charge everybody that's listening to do your own research. Be as a Berean, just don't take, listen, this ain't church. This is where you sit and listen. You got to put your work in it. He said, labor for the meat. He said, labor not for the meat that perish, but labor for the meat that endures until eternal life, which the Son of Man, which is Yahusha, shall give unto you. That's literal. So, it says on page 176, the doctrine of regeneration. He says, in Christian circles, conversion and regeneration. Conversion means you just make a decision that you want to follow, and you want Yahushua to be your master, and you know you want him to be the Lord of your life. That's the decision of the mind. That's what conversion is. Regeneration is something totally different, and there are several words to explain it. So he says, conversion and regeneration are treated as being the one and same experience. They are used as interchangeable terms. But although the two events are closely related and cannot exist apart from each other, there is yet a clearly marked doctrinal distinction between them, proving, and I'm putting emphasis on what he's about to say, proving that a close study should not be ignored. And the evidence of the difference between conversion and regeneration can be found in Christ's warning of Peter. Our master, and he don't predict anything, because there's no such thing as predictions, because predictions can be wrong. He counseled the denial. He had said about the denial of his disciple, and also spoke of Peter's repentance and return in the word, when thou art converted. Look that word up. There's a definition. If you have a Greek concordance or something, you can go to blueletterbible.org. Look that word up. Converted. He said, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. This is in Luke 22:32. So in this future declaration of future usefulness after Peter's restoration, Yahushua did not imply that Peter was not one of his. Peter had been a true disciple for over 3 years. The word converted simply means turn again. Now, the Hebrew word for that is teshuva. It means to turn around or to turn about. Like if you in the world, right, then you want to turn about or make an about face. Now you want to make a change and follow like Yahushua. But we do this all the time. You could be having a profession, like you could be a construction worker, or an engineer, and you decide that you want to do something else. You just convert from one profession to another. It's just a simple mind change. Has nothing to do with being born again, and that's very crucial for the listeners to understand that. That Peter was about to shamefully deny that his master and reach the depth of despair. In effect, Yahushua is saying, Peter, you are about to grieve and fall and fail me. But when you realize your sin and repent and return to me in a humble surrender, I will make you a greater channel of blessing than you ever were in the past. And Peter turned back and became the apostle to the Yahudim. Like Peter, there then a person may backslide and yet impenitent turn back to Yahuwah. Now, let me give you some verses here, some scriptures here for that word conversion. Now, tracing the biblical usage of conversion, we find it mentioned 5 times in the Old Testament. Here it is. Psalm 19:7. Verses 50 and 13. Isaiah 1:27. Isaiah 6:10. Isaiah 60:5. And let me correct you here. When I said Psalm 19:7, it's Psalm 19:7, Psalms 50 and 13. So I just want to correct correct myself on that. Now then, and go back and research those. Look the words up. See how it's being used. When we use the word conversion, it does not mean that you are saved. It is very crucial to understand that, because that's the deception. That's the lie that's being taught. All right? So in the New Testament, or the Brit Hadashah, it's Matthew 13:15, Matthew 18:3, Mark 4:12. Do you want us to read those scriptures or just give them out, Ron and Micah?
Yeah, you can read it.
You want to read
you
the
can
scriptures
read a couple
and see what they say? All right, so
yeah.
Let's start with Psalm 19:7. Let's do Psalm 19:7. Do you want to read it, or you want me to? It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, you can go ahead. You can go ahead and read it. I'll read it for you.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making the simple wise."
All right. So notice what it says. That word "law" is Torah. Torah, first five books. All right, keep in mind when the disciples came on the scene, when Yahushua them was here, when the disciples were under him, there was no New Testament. There was no Brit Hadashah. We had the first five books. They had the prophets, which is the Navaim, and they had the Psalms, which is the Tehillah. They also had the Book of Jubilee. They had the Book of Enoch. These are other books, that are scrolls that they had in their possession. But the Torah is the foundation of the Scriptures. Go ahead.
You said they had the Book of Enoch. You said they had the Book of Enoch too.
Yeah, because if you read in James or Yaakov, because that's his Hebrew word, that's his Hebrew name. He says, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints." That's literally taken out of the Book of Enoch. Yeah, I'm sorry. Thank you. Yeah,
that's Jude.
Jude, which his name is Judah or Yehuda in Hebrew. That's his name in Hebrew. So, he said, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints executing judgment." So that literally comes out of the Book of Enoch. So when you read
that book,
you will see.
You say,
go ahead.
You said so you said that passage come out the Book of Enoch, Jude 1:5. Read it. What is that? What verse is it?
Hold on.
Let me see. Yeah, I got it.
All right.
Jude 15, it says, Jude 14, and Enoch also the servant from Adam prophesied of these things. "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and all of their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against them."
Right. So, yeah, that was quoted actually from the Book of Enoch. And in the Book of Enoch, and Ron will agree, it speaks about the Messiah. It speaks about Yahushua. Am I right, Ron?
Yeah.
Also, there's a book called The Secrets of Enoch. It also speaks about the Messiah who is to come. See, here's the thing. When Yahushua came on the scene, and this is something we have to keep in mind, It's not like the Old Testament prophets and all of them didn't know that he was to come. It's just the fact that in this, you know, this Christianity that we was taught, a lot of us stayed away from the Old Testament. And if you saw a lot of the these pastors go into it, it's to get into your pocketbook. That's the only reason why they really went in there. Because a lot of them will tell you the Old Testament was done away with, but that's foolishness because you have to deal with prophecy. There are things that you who are prophesied, they have to come to pass. So if you throw out the Old Testament, then how you going to know what's going to be happening? Yahuwah is not, he don't deal with confusion, and he's not going to have us ignorant of his word if we obey him. This is a personal thing. I can't stand
right.
in for your sin. Ron can't stand in. Your pastor can't stand in. Everybody got to give an account for their own. You can't sit there
exactly.
and say,
exactly.
so-and-so told me this. Or he going to say, what did I tell you to do? I told you to get in there. But since you didn't count your soul worthy, he's going to have his angels, his malachim, bind you hand and foot, and he's going to cast you in the outer darkness. He ain't playing.
Hey, what it means when it says that the pastor is accountable for the he's an under shepherd. He's accountable for the souls that he preached to. What did that mean?
That means that he has to put the whole truth out. He can't be catering to no sin. I don't care what it is. Whatever them scriptures say, he got to put it out. It's got to be
okay.
It cannot be twisted. You can't add a taste. You can't be contradicting, because if you contradict something, meaning you leaving stuff out, or you twisting it for your own pleasure, unbeknownst to the flock, because let's be honest, all of us that come out of Christianity, to go listen to a pastor say a few words, he get up there, he entertains you, he do all the hooping and hollering, right? It may be some that are innocent, a few of them, but we're talking about the majority of them. They don't teach you how to study. You think just because he's called, he's special, when Yahuwah is putting the blame on us too. Because if you listening to him, and you didn't study, that's rank disobedience against the Son. Because he told us, he said, beware of false prophets that come to you in sheep's clothing. That's including me. If I'm bringing you word, you better check me out. Let me tell you something. Well, you will hear a lot of them say, don't question Elohim, but don't question the Creator. Them the ones you need to watch out for. Because a true person is coming to tell you the truth. He's going to tell you, don't take my word for it. Do your due diligence. Be like Berean. Find out if I'm telling you the truth or not. Because that person knows that he's done his homework. He's labored in the word. He done burnt the midnight oil. And when you get up in there, he's going to find out that you was telling the truth. Not that I was telling the truth, but I presented it from the scriptures as the truth. I'm just a vessel. I just desire the truth. Let me tell y'all something. We have a lot to cover. I don't know what Michael's going to, you know, what he's going to allow, because this is show, and I want to respect that, and I'm going to keep that respect on the table. But I'm going to tell y'all something. Salvation, it's parts to this thing. It's when Yahusha came, he did something special. And so when he said, because I have come, you no longer have a cloak for your sin. When he said, beware of false prophets, let me tell you what we do. You can't judge me. Pastor say, you can't judge me. Yes, I can. I have a right to judge you to see if you're genuine. I have a right to see if what you're saying is according to them scriptures. I'm not just talking about just reading those scriptures. I'm talking about getting there doing the word study. I'm talking about getting there and laboring like your life depends on it. I'm not screaming, y'all. This is the Ruach coming out, and you hear my passion coming out on top of that, because I know how serious this is. And I'm one of those few that do not have an excuse. I know the truth. I know what the scriptures have to say about a person getting into the kingdom. My eyes are wide open. Mm-hmm. And flesh and blood didn't give it to me. Listen, let me tell you something.
Okay.
A true servant of Yahuwah don't care about popularity. They ain't on there to try to get numbers. They are one. They're here for one thing only, to please Yahuwah and to please the Son. That's it. Because we don't want no blood mm-hmm. on our hands.
Yeah.
I know I'm kind of talking, but I'm saying this because I have a lot to back up what I'm saying. I have a lot of receipts to back up to what I'm saying. I'm not sitting up here just running my mouth just to be running my mouth. And when your eyes are open and you begin to see how many of these false prophets are out there, you're going to feel some type of way. I done seen marriages break up. Did you know I'm an outcast? Did you know if you are doing what the Son say do, you an outcast? Ain't nobody finna invite you.
Exactly, exactly.
Because the flesh don't be ruling, dude. The flesh is ruling today. And Yahuwah is angry. I hope y'all are understanding the gravity and the seriousness that's being spoken on this podcast today. So when we get into these word studies, if my car permits, it's going to be eye-opening. I'm going to show you in scriptures in plain sight that before you die, before you lose your life, before your physical death ends, if the Son didn't come to you and offer you eternal life, you're going to die in your sin. They don't teach
you. Say that again.
They don't tell you
say,
in the scriptures that the scripture teaches,
hey,
and I can go
say,
in many places.
Can you say that again. Say that again.
Which part?
Back up what you just said. Before you die. Say that again.
Okay, so this is the grand deception of salvation. And it's all over, and when I say all over the scriptures in plain sight, it is all over the scriptures in plain sight. And we're going to get into it. But what I said was, see, the obedience, when you come in under conversion, there's a reward that's given that's open for everybody when they come in. And that reward is that the Father going to send his Son to you. Supernaturally, he going to call you by your name, like how you hear my voice. Like we get into these words, and I can prove what I'm saying. I'm not making this stuff up. And I know this is not being taught because I've been around. I've put this stuff to the test. I've been pulled in the back rooms of pastors, small and great, questions, everything that happened to the Messiah. I have it happened to me, and anybody else is teaching it. The scripture teaches, in order for you to know that you are truly born from above, or that you are quickened, or you are regenerated, or you have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness into his dear light, the Son has to be revealed to you. Meaning the one that died 2,000 years ago, if we obey him, the Father at the appointed time, he will send Yahusha to you. And the best way I can explain is the road of Damascus when Paul was converted by Yahusha himself. And Yahusha approached him while he was on the road of Damascus, and he spoke to him. The veil was pulled over from his eyes. We have a veil over our mind and over our heart. Come on now. The scripture says our body is a temple.
Exactly.
We're going. Listen.
Right.
Listen, y'all. Listen.
Go ahead, bro.
Listen.
Brother
Mike.
Mikael.
Mike.
Hey.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm here.
Yeah, I wanted to say that we wanted to take a little break and play a song.
Okay.
And on the other side, we will continue where we left off at.
Sure.
All right. Let's get into scriptures. We come back on break.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Brother Mikael.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're
okay, all right, all right. I'm finna. Okay, okay. So we're going to get into the scriptures after the break, all right? So let me go ahead and put you brothers on hold. And I'm going to choose a song to play right quick. All right, let's play Amos.
Y'all the main ones I'm watching on my throne. Created everything, but I called you my own. That land I gave you, put my name on it, my home. Yeah, that's my home. Israel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. I made a promise, can't nobody take it. I chose to put you above all the nations. Out of your graves, I chose to awaken. We made a covenant, don't you forsake it. Come get protected while they going crazy. Israel, my firstborn, my baby. Israel, my firstborn, my baby. I woke you up in your land of captivity. I do not change, I want you to remember me. Laws and commandments, I gave you the remedy. Go read the testimonies for your memory. I sent them prophets, but you wasn't hearing me. I come to you if you really come near to me. I heard your cry, now it's time to say it to me. I don't know what got you from all of your enemies. Who you know open the sea? Them waters are bitter, but I made it sweet. Case you ain't know how to swim, I'm your protector, so I made you walk on your feet. This a reminder you married to me. I just want you to be all I called you to be. They called you niggas, but I made you priests. I'm about to give you back everything. I'm sending plagues for you. I'm sending boys drying up rivers. I leave them dead for you. Tell Pharaoh, let my people go. You heard what I said for you. Tell Pharaoh, let my people go. You heard what I said for you. For you. You only ever I know. Y'all the main ones I'm watching on my throne. Created everything, but I called you my own. That land I gave you, put my name on it, my home. Yeah, that's my home, Israel. I'm the reason you in the captivity. We made a covenant, you ain't remember me. You broke the covenant, I sent your enemies. Get out my land since you wasn't fearing me. I'm the reason they put you in chains. I'm the reason they switched up your name. I'm the reason why you in the hood. I'm the reason of all your pain. I'm sending fluids, fast, daily. Think I don't lose. Y'all my babies, gave my son. Must be crazy. Come out that system, come out of that lady. They got that military, it would not faze me. It would not move me, it would not graze me. Remember Egypt, I did all that for my people. You only ever know. Y'all the main ones I'm watching on my throne. Created everything, but I called you my own. That land I gave you, put my name on it, my home. Yeah, that's my home. You only ever I know. Y'all the main ones I'm watching on my throne. Created everything, but I called you my own. That land I gave you, put my name on it, my home. Yeah, that's my home. Israel.
All right, all right. Welcome to the other side of the break. And these brothers, they are literally going in depth on some issues. And I'm just a fly on the wall. I'm listening, y'all. I'm driving down the highway. Y'all are making me want to pull over, though, and get involved. But right now I'm on the highway. I'm a trucker by trade. And I'm listening to you brothers. And now on this side, y'all say y'all's gonna go into the scriptures, so I'm on the edge of my seat, ready to hear what you brothers gonna bring out. All right, so here we go. Let me open up your mics. All right, all right. Everybody in line is open.
Yeah, I just want to say all praises to Yahuwah and to His Son, Master Yahusha. Now, while we was on the break. Ruach, and I don't lie, I promise you, I don't lie, I don't do that, but he was like, Mikael, teach the people what conversion is, because they are not familiar with that because of all the lies that's been taught. So go over the scriptures and give them examples out of the scriptures that I'm going to give you, and show them what conversion is, because it's important to understand what conversion really is. I would admonish everybody that's in the sound of my voice to study that word, to understand what it means. It does not, you will find some commentators who are lying to you that will say that conversion and regeneration is the same thing. It's, I don't talk to them. Let me tell y'all some people. I came across this stuff in 1995, 1996. I've had time to put this to the test. Yahuwah has led me into deliverance sessions. I was not in no assembly with no pastor and stuff. I'm in the highways and the byways doing this stuff. There's a ministry I was learning from, but a lot of this was prayer, study, and begging for the truth. It's a lie. It's a lie to hear somebody say that the Ruach, who is a person, cannot teach you. That's what he was sent for. Yeah, there are people in the Bible, but you got to be discerning what you're reading, what you're hearing, what you're digesting. Because the eyes consume, the ears consume, just like the mouth consumes. And it's very important because your soul, our soul, is dependent on it. So what we're going to do, we're going to put emphasis on the scriptures that deal with conversion. Use the study tools. Ron, you can, if you want to put in some tools for the audience so they can use to do their studies or whatever. You know, I did put some tools up in the beginning. But I would go into the Greek and the Hebrew. I would use Entomology Online. I would do stuff like that, solid. I would kind of try to stay out of commentary. But I would definitely go in there and do the word studies and look this stuff up as much as possible. If you got to go into the Hebrew, Teshuvah. See what it means? It's the same thing, to turn around. So it's important. We said we're going to go into some scriptures. Because when I get into the parable of the Sermon of the Mount, the two gates, if you don't know what conversion is, that's going to be a stumbling block. And you don't want that to be a stumbling block, because that's very key to understand, because these people that were sent away, they were not born again. They didn't know who Yahushua was. He said, I don't know who you are. And everybody in that group, it's very important to understand when we get into this study, it's all over the place. Matthew 7, Matthew 25, the five wise and the five foolish, the king giving a wedding for his son. I mean, it's in several places. He sends them away for one reason only, because they were disobedient, or they knew the truth, but they did not commit themselves to obey the Son, and he had his angels, the reapers, to bind them hand and foot and cast them into outer darkness. So these people that were sent away, multitudes of them, massive amounts of them. Understand how Satan and how he works. He has the permission to work in the body of Yahushua, in the body of the Mashiach. The warnings are there. So if he sends you away, come on, think about it, people. What you going to do? We can't do nothing with police officers. You can't do nothing with no state patrolmen. If he come put them cuffs on you, what you going to do? Besides getting shot? But how much more if an angel come and grab you up because you find out either that you were deceived, you know, you didn't do what you were supposed to do, or you following this person and you didn't know this person was lying to you? This is the reality. It's hard.
You can't do nothing when a death angel comes for you. You can't do nothing. You ain't gonna better do nothing.
Let's get in these scriptures, brother.
Okay, let's get in the scriptures.
We was talking about for conversion. Hold on, let me get back there. Where was that at? All right, so we went, you was reading out of Psalms 19 and 7. So read Psalms 50 and 13. Psalms 50 and 13.
Okay, I got you. Psalms chapter 50, verse 13. And it reads, I will eat the flesh of bulls. You said 50-13?
Okay. Yeah, hold on.
50-13?
51-13, correction.
51-13. Yeah. It says, then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee.
Yeah, so in the Sefer, it says, then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be turned back unto you, which the word conversion means to make a decision or to turn. So think about what is being said. He said, I will teach transgressors your ways. So if he's teaching you and you are a transgressor of the Torah from the heart, and I'm not sitting here saying that we're not to guard the moral commandments. We certainly need, we better do that. We're supposed to do that. But the Torah has a deeper lesson behind it. It's to show us that we can't really obey the Torah. If we could love our neighbor as Yahusha loved us, as Yahuwah loved us, as they loved us, then there's no need for you to tell somebody to do something if they already know how to do it. Adam and Kawhi or Eve never was told, was never given the moral commandment that we have right now. There was no covenant of blood that was cut for them, because there was no need, because they were not transgressors before they listened to the, before, you know, they ate of the fruit. There was no need for that. They had the love of the Father, Yahuwah, and the Son. That's why they was made in the pure image of them. But they lost it. It got tainted. And that's why we see all this chaos today. If Adam and Kawhi had kept their original nature, you would not see, death would not be here, sicknesses, all that is inherited from what happened to our first parents. That's why he gave us the moral commandments, because he said under all the law and all the prophets, all these things can be fulfilled under that. But we can't do that, not in truth. Or the son would not have come and said that we need to be born a second time of the Ruach. But go ahead.
Because they was born perfect. Adam, they was born perfect. You know what I'm saying? They ain't have no sin until they ate of that tree. You know, instead
exactly.
of the tree of good and evil, they didn't
exactly.
have no sin. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So that the devil was in the tree of good and evil, right? He was in the midst of the tree of good and evil.
Matter of fact, he's called the great. That's correct. That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct. Hallelujah. That's correct. So the next verse, precept. It's Isaiah, 1, verse 27. You want me to read it, or are you going to read it?
Which one?
Isaiah chapter 1, verse 27.
Okay, I read it. Isaiah 1, 27.
All right.
It reads, Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her converts with righteousness.
All right,
with
so
righteousness.
When it says redeemed with judgment, that means we are under judgment. And it says the point of men wants to die after this the judgment. Here's the thing. Did you know when it says, it says in the scriptures, and I'm not as keen with Ron when it comes down to precepts and stuff, and I told him that. But he said the judgment must first begin at the house of Yahuwah. If the righteous scarcely, and I'll put a word out there to do a word study on that word scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Meaning he going to judge his house. Yahushua going to judge his house first. So when he comes to you, this part that you want to understand, that's a great fight on judgment. Because he got to deal with one thing, and that's our inability to love in truth, which is why the scripture says in John chapter 15 and 16, that when he comes, the Ruach HaKodesh, he will convict the world of sin, not plural, but singular, one sin. Now all the smoking and drinking and fornicating and all the other stuff we're doing, those are like sores, like deeply rooted sores with gangrene that is manifestation of our inability to love. So we run through these things to try to find it, but it all be in vanity because the real problem is that we are born with a black heart. And that black heart is alive and well. That's why it says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart, the levav, that's lamed, bet, two houses, with the lamed in the front of it, is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked, who can know it? Now, I'm going to ask y'all something. Is a house deceitful and wicked? Is a car deceitful and wicked? Any object or whatever the case may be that's not animated, you can't put those type of adjectives on it. So what he's talking about is that in our great I am, we have a spiritual heart that's located between your kidneys. If you look at that word kidney, that's what it's going to lead you to. It is a heart that has a free will, and he hates us, and he hates Yahuwah, and he's in league with Hasatan. And that's the one where the confession has to come from. So I want to point that out. So let's get to our next verse dealing with conversion.
So what's it? So I'm going to ask a question.
Sure.
So what sin are you talking about? That he goes judges on? What sin? You said
it's
one sin.
Our inability to love. We don't have the divine love of the Father in our heart. It has to be granted to you. And that's what the Messiah has to come do. When he comes, he's got to. Now, this is where we get into what's called another aspect of salvation called the new covenant. It's a new covenant of a new heart. That's what the sacrificial offering was all about. So if he's going to come to you, it has to be something literal. He has to present to you and show you what this covenant is. Did he not do it with our forefathers in Deuteronomy chapter 29? When he did that with Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, did he not cut a covenant with him from the ram in the bush? Wasn't it a blood covenant? Isn't Yahusha our final sacrifice? So when we start getting into the studies, you're going to start seeing in these word studies where the Son is literally is going to reveal himself to you. And he's going to offer you eternal life. Literally. See, think about it. Let me put this out here as a scenario. If everybody just, all we had to do was just believe, then ain't nobody for him to send into outer darkness. If it was just that simple. If all you got to do is just believe, and that's it. There's no need for going into no study. There's no need for him telling you to study yourself approved. There's no need for him to tell you to watch out for false prophets. Because everybody going to get into the kingdom by a simple belief pattern. That is not what the scripture teaches. It teaches the opposite. As a matter of fact, it warns against that. See, if you have a diamond and a cube of zirconia, and you don't have a trained eye, you go to an expert. And he's going to tell you the difference. what do you think we're supposed to be doing when he's telling you to study? You get in there and study enough where you can spot the error. That's what assignment comes in at, if I'm making that plan. And as a matter of fact, to answer your question, to show you that he has to impart his love unto us, and I kind of want to stay on with the conversion part, because when we start getting on that part, then I start showing you several scriptures with the word study that the Son has to reveal himself. So he said, behold what love is this. This is 1 John 3:1. If you look at that word, behold, it means to look at something with your eyes. Behold what love is this, that the Father has granted to us, that we should be called sons of God, or sons of Elohim. And when it says, what love, behold what love, it means unique. It's a unique type of love. It's a foreign love that we are unfamiliar with, because we're not born with it. So what you have is, you have people running around here claiming something that they don't have, and Yahushua calls them thieves and robbers, because they come in some other type of way than what he laid down lawfully for us to do. If he tell you to come in this way, and a false prophet tell you, you got to come in this way, that's all you got to do, and he don't wrote your name down the Lamb Book of Life, you being a thief and a robber. You coming in, you stealing something that's not yours. And you literally become a bastard son and a bastard daughter because you're illegitimate. You're born out of wedlock. You didn't come in through the way he tell you. So guess what? If you don't repent, when he comes in the air and you in that group, he's going to send you away. I know it's, listen, y'all, I know, and we still scratching the surface. We ain't even got into the meat of this stuff. This stuff is hard stuff. And it should be. It should be convicting you to make you think, well, man, I might better start doing what I need. Listen, being an Israelite, you who have been knowing this? When we lost our inheritance, he already knew we was Israelites. That's why we lost our inheritance. We're stiff-necked people. But we don't have to remain stiff-necked. And we've been obeying.
Okay. All right, okay. I got some questions for y'all, man. I got some questions, man. Baptism and conversion, how is they related to each other, or are they related to each other?
Okay. All right, so baptism, which is called immersion. All right, so this
okay,
is how
immersion.
You apply it. That's why I was saying there are parts to this thing, because if you go into the Old Testament and you look at the tabernacle, right? I'm answering your question, so bear with me. There's the outer court, there's the inner court, and that's the most holy place. Now, our body is made up the same way. You have the conscious man, which deals with the five senses, and your flesh heart. You have the subconscious man, and then you have what's called your most holy place, or your inner man, your inner heart. Now, that's where Jeremiah 17:9 comes in at, right? When you're reading about the flesh heart in Jeremiah 31 and Ezekiel chapter 36 and Ezekiel 11 and 19, when he says flesh heart, that's dealing with your nefesh, your body, your temple, your flesh man, that deals with your five senses. You know, like I'm talking to you, right, you're fully conscious when you do stuff, That's the sense world. That's where the confession of the mouth. That's why he said, confess with thy mouth. That's your conscious man. But he said something else, and believe in thine heart. Here's another thing that goes with. He said, they worship me with their lips. Your conscious man. I'm going to ask you a question, but I want to make a distinction. In vain do they worship me, teaching the commandments of men. This is the conscious man. But their heart, and that word far, if you look it up in the Greek, it means far off from it, so far off in the distance that if you had eyes or whatever, you couldn't even see where it's at. It's just that far off. It said your heart is far from me. Notice he said teaching the commandments of men. So if he's saying teaching commandments of men, that means whoever these people are following, they're contradicting what Yahusha said. So getting back to what your question is, when we go to a Baptist,
yeah,
I use the Baptist assembly. I use the Baptist assembly. Or when you go to,
when you get immersed
in an Israelite.
I also want to add into my question the Talmud of doctrines of men. I was always thought that that was referring to that Talmud, you know, washing of the hands and things like that. That's what I was thinking about when, you know, but I wanted you to address that also.
Sure, sure. So if you go and study the temple of Moses, right? Well, if you study, all three of them have a spiritual significance. But we'll start with that because that's a representation of our biological man, our makeup, our physical makeup, and our spiritual makeup. You got mind, body, and soul. If you're dealing with the mind, you got the conscious man, the subconscious man. That's the one, that's the inner court. And then you got what's called the most holy place. So the one that Yahuwah looks, he looks at that part right there, right? So and if you go into the outer court, you had certain things that was placed in the outer court, which is the conscious man. This is where Yahusha came in, and he died in front of the world before the sixth man, the soul man. Everybody knows about it, right? You read about it, right? The people write about it, right? When you pick up the scriptures, you read about it. Everything he did. Now, it's interesting he said this. He said, search ye the scriptures. This is John chapter 5, I think, starting verse 39. Search ye the scriptures. This is what it says. But in them, you think all the little popular scriptures that these false prophets pop up with and say all you got to do is believe and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You think you have eternal life. Now listen to what he say after that. He said, those are they, the ones that believe on his name, who testify of me. Meaning they go to the scriptures, they pull out some scriptures, and they say, come up to the altar. Right? That's the outer court now. That's because there was an altar there. And there was a labor right there where the bathing and stuff took place. And another thing also that came happened, this is where John the Baptist was shown. Because he was a forerunner. Now, another forerunner is the Ruach HaKodesh. He is a forerunner. See, when you go from the physical to the spiritual, right? So, then you have what was called the sacrificial lamb was there. Now that represented Yahusha being sacrificed in front of the whole world on the ancient kings of Redeemer. But that's your conscious part. Everybody make that type of confession. He got on our people so much. Because we did that. We said, well, you know, we don't keep your covenant, Yahusha. But what do we kept doing? What our ancestors kept doing? Listen, man. These assemblies, these altars are loaded with tears of sincere people. Yahuwah don't... Okay, let me say this. Sincerity is not enough if it don't have obedience tied with it. People can be sincere, but that doesn't mean you're obeying somebody. Because what he is after is that inner man, that black heart. When Yahusha comes, he ain't dealing so much with your, even though you are aware that he's coming, he really trying to deal with that wicked antichrist that's sitting on everybody's throne, that great I am, that sit there and say, you got your opinion and I got mine, I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. That's the one he want right there. That's the sacrifice he want right there.
I got a question. So he wants that old man, right? That wants to do what he wants to do.
Sitting on our inner
heart.
That's what he's
trying to deal
with. Correct. That's the one he wants. That's the whole purpose of the journey. When we get into this thing, you'll start seeing. So I hope where the Ruach is going to bring it back to you. And I hope even when we get off this podcast, something's going to stick in your mind. You're going to go to sleep with it like, dang, man. Because it's got to make sense. Even to the sense, man, it's got to make sense. Because why are all these people sent away? Nobody want to think about that. We want to live our best life. But is that what he's requiring you to do? Is it going to cost you? And when I say you, I'm not excluding myself because I understand this thing. I wake up with this thing. I go to sleep with this thing. But it's not, let me tell you, acquiring salvation is not as easy as you think. It's going to be the most difficult thing you ever put your foot to do because it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you your friends. It's going to cost you everything. Because you can't take nobody with you. It's a personal journey, and it's a thing that he got to deal with us on a one-on-one basis. When he comes, the demon's going to be put out the way. He's going to deal with you one-on-one. But when he comes, he's bringing a great reward, and that's salvation. And he's going to call you by name. My sheep hear my voice, and I call them by name. And they follow me, and a stranger, a false prophet, they will not follow. That's literal. Sorry. Don't take my word for it. Listen, y'all, I'm screaming this thing off the top of the roof. I don't know any other type of way to show just how serious this is. You ain't just listening to know anything on this podcast. I used to get in trouble for this stuff.
Hey.
But going back to your question,
hold on,
because
yeah.
I want to make sure I answer
yeah.
Michael's question, because he wants to know about immersion. So the outer court, it had a laver, and that's where we would go in and we would wash ourselves, right? It's the same thing they do in the Baptist assembly. You are moving to a river somewhere and you baptize. That's just the beginning of your initial washing. And hopefully you're following the right one. The Holy Spirit is given to you, but not necessarily. He can be given to you in your house if you pray for it. If you go to Him as a little child, that's a prerequisite. If you come in any other type of way, He's not gonna hear you. What is the mind of a little child? They ask questions. They'll wear you out because they want answers. They don't have preconceived notions. You can't go in these scriptures thinking you got this Baptist or whatever you've been taught. You can't take that in there because he's gonna mirror it back out to you, and you're not going to see what the scriptures say. I can't put enough stress on how serious this really is. I don't get a chance to talk about this. Have friends and stuff that I talk about, but I'm telling you, I had one teacher one time, man. Anyway, let's get on back. But did I answer your question, Mika, Michael? Did you understand what I was saying? And you got to study the outer court, and you'll see what I'm talking about.
Okay, got you. Go ahead, brother.
Because there's another baptism. But this baptism is done by the Ruach HaKodesh of the Holy Spirit. This is when you begin your walk, which, you know, hopefully we'll get a chance to get into that. I ain't covered what I really want to get into because I felt like it's important that we lay this foundation of what conversion is because it's not taught in a lot of circles. That's the truth. And I just read to you from a Gentile who know this. But anyway, go ahead, Ron. All praises.
Yes, so I'm going to get this scripture right here, 2 Peter,
okay.
Chapter 3. I think it's 1 Peter. What's what's that scripture where it says grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Savior. Grow in. Let's see. Let me look that up. Mickey, you hear me?
Yeah, I heard you.
Okay, it's here it is right here.
2 Peter 3:18.
I got it. Yeah, read
that. But grow in grace and the knowledge of our Adonai and Savior, Yahushua HaMashiach, and of Yahuwah the Father. To him be glory both now and forevermore.
So I was,
let's
so
read
so
up
I
a little bit.
Say this.
Let's read up a little bit.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Ahead. Go ahead.
Let's read up a little
go
bit
ahead.
Further. Let's read up a little bit further here.
Okay.
All right, so verse 16. As also in all his suffering, talking about Paul, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable pervert as they do also the other scriptures. Now listen to what he about to say, unto their own destruction. When he said, like, twisting unto their own destruction, that means if I write you a contract, and in that contract is going to grant you a specific prices for a reward. And it gets passed down over the years into different hands. And somebody, and just to say it's got to be, now it's got to be, now it's got to be converted from the language into another language. Right? And you don't go in there and you don't do your word study. And I'm speaking from experience because I've been laboring in this for quite some time. If it's one word change in that agreement, in that contract, where that grantor is going to get a grantee something of a great reward, you know what that does to that whole entire contract? It makes it null and void, and you can't get it. This is what it is saying. They come in and they twist the words. But because you don't go in there and study it to the root of it to see in the original language to see what it means, you're not going to see what they did. They could get up there and speak well, but they ain't got nothing to do with what them scriptures say. So you got to get in there and you got to labor and study to see what it says. Paul was a Pharisee, a Parashim. Listen, Paul knew the scriptures inside. Matter of fact, very strict. Down to the tittle and the letter of the Hebrew. Like the exactness of it. That's why he was chosen as a vessel. So if you don't know Torah or the first five books and what they mean, and you don't study them, and then start applying it to what Yahushua was saying, then you're going to be tripped up. And you're not going to understand. That's what he was talking about. So when he said unto your own destruction, that means if it's not fixed and that person died or whoever's preaching it to that person, they're going to die in their sin because they left stuff out or something got perverted. I just want to say that, brother. That's all.
Hey, I want to ask you a question. I got another question. In Romans chapter 7, was Paul struggling with sin? When he said, can you go there right quick?
We had talked about that before.
I want to ask you this question again, though.
All right. We ain't off the subject, is we?
Well, because I do want to
skip
the conversion part.
Okay, go ahead.
Romans chapter 7.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah. Yeah.
Let me say this. Okay, let me say this to the audience about Romans chapter 7. Because he says, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I would do. All right. Verse 20. Now, if I do that, I would not. Is it no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me? Then he says, I find then a rule that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Now, verse 22, this is very key to what Paul was at on his salvation journey. For I delight in the Torah of Elohim after the inward man. When it is saying that, this is saying that this is Paul in his newly regenerated, born-again state. He was not born again on the road to Damascus. He was converted. In here in Romans chapter 7, Paul is learning how to walk after the inward man. Peter says, a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of Yahuwah of great price. Something that's great price is rare. Yahuwah is just not out there just handing out, Yahuwah should not just handing out salvation in numbers like that. No, he requires obedience. Because obedience is better than what? Obedience
sacrifice.
Is better than what? So people sacrifice all the time. They go to church. They have all this kind of stuff. But what did he tell us to do? What did he command us to do? We can sit here and say, he said, why do you call me master, master, or Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? He ain't just bumping his gum. That's a warning. So here in Romans chapter 7, you read verse 22, Paul is now at this point just born again. He's been given a new heart. That's why it talks about after the inward man, because this particular man is not the one mentioned in Jeremiah 17:9, because Yahushua has come in and removed him, this Antichrist sitting on his throne, and now Christ sits on that Kodesh place. That's what they're talking about. Did I
make
that clear?
Got a question, brother. Got a question. All right. Who is Paul talking to in Romans?
Well, you have to go back to the context, which is Romans chapter 1.
Okay.
Hey, but Mickey, yeah, the flesh is still there, though. God, he never did take away the flesh. I just wanted to make that comment.
Yeah. I want to make a distinction. So the best way to explain this is this: there's a spiritual birthright that's promised to all of us when we convert to Yahushua. The promise is the first thing is the spiritual birthright. Because without the spiritual birthright, we can't get the inheritance, and we don't want to be like Esau. We sell our birthright for the things of this world and lose, because he was going to lose his inheritance anyway because he lost his birthright. Birthright and inheritance go together. That's why I'm making that make sense. Because you're being moved from the kingdom of darkness and on the house of the sun to the kingdom of his dear son. There's a transfer. There's a transition. But this transition, it's a lot of things that take place when Yahushua comes. And like I said, I know this is probably brand new to everybody that's listening to it because I know it's not taught. Our house of the sun ain't doing his job. And it's, you know, when I first came across this, I was very vigilant in putting this thing to the test. Because I remember when I settled it down to enough where I could do it, I said, well, at the time I still didn't know the Father's name, but I was thinking like, Yahuwah. I said, well, let me go ahead and put this to the test to see how this stands out. Man, I used to go in some of them assemblies, especially where demons were prevalent. Oh, they used to say, get him out of here. They was angry. Them demons was upset.
Okay.
I ain't going to even tell you about some of the deliverance. But anyway, go ahead with a question. Go ahead with a question.
So you was going to Romans chapter 1. You was going to Romans chapter 1?
Yeah. Okay, so the book of Romans is, well, just because of the fact that Paul, and you agree with this, Ron, Paul's ministry was to the Gentiles, the uncircumcised. Kepha, or Peter's ministry, was to the circumcision, which is the Yahudim, the children of Israel. That's the difference between the two. So this letter written to Paul was to the Gentiles. Now that we were in Rome as well. So, of course, if we're preaching it to them, we're going to get it too because we was amongst them. We have people still in Rome today, in Rome, Italy today. There are Israelites. Mm-hmm. We're scattered.
All right. Yeah. Exactly. So that means that in their Gentile state of mind, they was able to hear the gospel and the spiritual aspects of the gospel. But we do agree we all still have that stony heart still right now.
Well, that's
or are you
that
saying that our perversion took away our stony hearts? Is that what you're saying?
Mm-mm. The stony heart, anytime you're still a convert, the people that he sent away, they still have a stony heart. The stony heart is removed when Yahusha comes and offer us the flesh heart, the new heart.
Right. So that's on the day of the Lord then. Is that the day of the Lord?
Hold on. Let's break this down because I see where your question is going. All right. So everybody knows, and let me put a word out there for people in the audience to go study. Advent. First Advent, Second Advent, or First Arrival, Second Arrival. Let me explain that part. On a world level, he came through the seed of the woman under ancient kinsman redeemer. He's revealed to the world, right, and he died on a tree. He was resurrected on first fruit. 40 days later, he was taken up. He had told the disciples to go to the upper room because 10 days after that, which would be on Feast of Weeks or Pentecost, the Ruach was going to come to replace him, which is the Holy Spirit. All right? So from his death to his burial and from his birth, coming through the death and resurrection, his burial, his resurrection, up until the time he was taken away, that's his first advent. His second advent to the world is judgment. That's to the world now at large, when he's going to put the nations down, then we're going to go into another age. Now, let me also point out this. There's a point when he comes in the air. That's not an advent. He comes in the air, and he judges his body. Now, let's break that part down on a personal level, meaning every single person that's listening to this, on a personal one-on-one level, there is a first advent and there's a second advent. Here's where the rubber meets the road, and I want to make it as plain and as simple as I possibly can. As we go through this, it'll become plain, but hopefully I can make it plain to you right now. And I'm asking the Ruach to give it to me where I can make it plain. All right. When you become a convert, Christ ain't came to you yet. The goal is, your end goal is the promise to search him out till you find him, and Yahuwah sends him, and he reveals himself to you. That's your first advent. Because when he comes, he's going to bring you to a new love. He's going to give you a new heart. Not only that.
Okay, can you?
That's your spiritual birthright.
Can you pause right there? All right, can you pause right there? At that moment, that first advent, spiritually, is our hearts removed at on that personal level? Is our hearts been replaced then?
Yeah, because, see, that's right, because that's a great white throne judgment. And I can prove that out of Scripture because that's the reward. When he comes, he got to judge you. Christ got to judge you. Then he said all judgment has been given to the Son. Right, to execute upon all flesh, and that's what he said, right? So I want everybody, don't want to, because it's a lot to be covered, but I'd rather put emphasis on something that everybody can understand so you can get it. There has to be, there must be a personal, he has to come to you as an individual. That's your personal revelation. If you get that, and he come into you, that's your pace off. That's your Passover. When he comes, he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice," look it up. "I will." That's literal. "I will come into him and sup." That word "sup" means Passover. And sup with him. That's your new heart. That stony heart is removed. You stood the great white throne judgment. The Father is gonna. That's when he said he's gonna remove the curtain and show you the covenant. You got to agree upon it. You got to make a decision.
Right.
Yes, sir. So
okay.
When he does
I got
that,
part. Mm-hmm.
Now,
go ahead.
Here is where the rubber meets the road. The many that were sent away, they never got there. It was too late for them. The opportunity was there, but they never got there. That's why he told them, "I never knew you." When he said, "I never knew you," "I never came to you. I never gave you a robe of righteousness. I never covered your sin. I never gave you the new heart. I never called you by name. I didn't become one with you. I didn't become Yaqid with you. So I don't know you. You're a stranger. You belong to House Son. You didn't obey me. You a fool."
Hey,
you built your house
I want to ask
I got a bunch of questions, too. I got a bunch of questions myself.
Hold on, Micah and Ron. Let me say this to y'all in the audience. That's what he wants. That's searching for him. That's being a little child. Do y'all understand what I'm trying to say? I'm literally pouring my heart out on this podcast, y'all.
Yeah, we understand.
Because I don't do this all the time.
We understand.
This deception, man. We're man. It ought to make you feel some type of way. It ought to make you feel some type of way.
Hey, I want to say something.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because the time is off. We ain't got them once more time. But Brother Michael was saying last time that the new covenant is not going to fully come until Christ comes. Remember he said that? You remember
my understanding from what I've. But the thing is that right now, Brother Mikiel is talking in a spiritual. Our hearts have been converted. We got a new hearts right now by believing in Christ and having faith in Christ. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true.
But all right, okay. So spiritually, our heart has been replaced, but. That stony heart is still there. Okay, so you're saying, okay. Okay, gotcha.
That's why I was saying.
Okay, but the stony heart, what contains in that stony heart is what makes us desire to break God's commandments. It's constantly trying to break those commandments. So once he's replacing that in us, then that would alleviate sin. Sin is breaking his commandments. So once he change out our hearts. We no longer. So that's all I want to say on the spiritual aspect. But it's all coming from Paul, who's the apostle to the Gentiles. They not even under the covenant in the first place. Their whole connection is with spirit. Got to be. Spirit and faith. Right? So he's speaking on a spiritual and faith level to a people that's been, that wants to believe in our God and our Messiah. Everything is, but in reality, we all still got that stony heart still until the day of the Lord. You know what I mean? So everything is spiritual about a Gentile converting over into Christ. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, and I think that's what Peter was talking about, where a lot of people, to their own damnation or to they be destroyed by, you know, they're unlearned and that they're listening to Paul and everything else. That's how they get jacked up. As far as those brothers who got cast away, the Lord said, I don't know them. He said they was workers of iniquity. Iniquity is breaking God's commandments. So whatever relationship they had with Christ or they thought they had with Christ, as long as they keep breaking these commandments and being workers of it, that's why he said, I don't know you. How you going to have faith in me but disrespect my dad? You know what I'm saying? Disrespect my dad but have faith in me at the same time. He's like, me and my dad are one. All right, go ahead. I'll let y'all go.
Michael, let me ask you a question because, and let me make this statement to the people in the audience. When you say spiritual, this is not no conjure up thing. The spirit world is more real than this physical world. Without it, we couldn't even have a physical world. I have to clarify that because so when you say when he says workers of iniquity, that's because they didn't get a new heart. See, during this time that when the Holy Spirit came, this new covenant has started being offered in. The promise is that's the offer. Christ is the one that offers it. During this time when the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost, almost 2,000 years ago, that's when Christ, the Holy Spirit, was come to do his work, to lead the believer to the Son, because out of those three, it was one that became flesh and blood, to redeem us, and that's Yahushua. You got to make sure you make a distinction, because each have their particular ministry in bringing that believer to salvation. The salvation, what makes us not lawless, is when he give you a new heart. When we was reading in Romans chapter 7, verse 22, the inward man, Paul was talking about the new heart.
Gotcha. But that's the problem I think we're having. I think you're exactly right. But I guess my question is, who is Paul talking to? You know what I mean? Because if Israel, what's being taught down in Jerusalem is that the new heart comes on the day of the Lord. But what Paul is teaching the churches, that they can have that new heart right now spiritually, right? And my question is, how come, you know what I'm saying, nobody else talked about we already got a new heart with Christ, believing in Christ down in Jerusalem? Why is Paul saying that up there?
No, we're not gonna be able to sin until Christ come back until we get our glorified bodies. The Bible says that the spirit is willing but the flesh is weak. So when God sealed us, he didn't take away our choice. He still gave us the choice to choose. Because if he didn't, we'll be robots. So he still gave us the choice to choose. That's why he said, I see another member I see another member in my flesh, warring against the soul and the spirit. You know, let me read that. You see, as far
so,
as,
yes.
I'm gonna read that.
So,
let me read
so
that.
That is what that is. That's that stony heart that we talk about in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Paul is breaking down our Hebrew walk. He's breaking down our Hebrew Israelite walk with Christ to some people who don't know anything.
When he's talking about the flesh,
let me read it right quick.
That's the old man.
It says, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. So sin is still in our members. Sin is still there because the Bible says that those that endure to
the
end, the same shall be saved. Yeah.
That's the stony heart.
It's still there.
That's what they call the old man.
That's
in the body. That doesn't get redemption.
Yeah.
Who's to come to collect those that are here. See, you have the elect.
Right, yeah.
The elect, the word said on that word to see what it means, because it is Yahuwah that's doing the electing through Christ. But Christ is the one that's bringing a new heart. So it's crucial to understand in Romans chapter 7 that the new man is the new Adam, or Christ that's sitting on the throne, the inner man. The old Adam is still the body, the flesh that's still under condemnation. That doesn't change until when Christ come back, and then you get that. But see, if you don't remember what it said, when you put a seed in you, you cannot what? Sin. Remember
what
it said?
Yeah, exactly. That's what it said. First John.
You have to understand what he is referring to is the new heart that Christ has to offer us. If you don't have
it's
on the day of the Lord.
You're not going
to
get no new body.
On the day of the Lord.
You're not going to get this But you got to understand, when Christ comes to the individual, that is your day of the Lord. Because that's why he's coming to you.
Yeah, but
he revealing himself to you.
Okay.
That is the day of the Lord, because he's coming to judge. But at the same time, he's there to cover your sin. He can't cover your sin if you die. It's too late. That's why he sent the many away.
Right on. But, brother, you got to understand where I'm coming from is that if we claim right now that we got a new heart and all of that right now, that is written upon our heart as law, then are you saying that you're not sinning right now? That there's no more, y'all don't sin right now?
No, we don't have all of it now.
So your inner man, when Christ comes, he don't sin. Your flesh does. That's what Paul was talking about.
Right. I understand what you're saying. Right.
I want to make sure that Kenny, listen.
Right.
Listen. Anybody else is listening to the words of my mouth. When you come to the scriptures, whatever you've been taught, you got to throw it out and start all over again so you can read what the scriptures are saying when you're doing the study. Because if you're trying to
the gravity of what you're saying. You are saying that your flesh sins, but your spirit is pure, right? So
your
when
heart,
you look at porn,
when
you saying you saying so if you was to look at porn, you are saying that your spirit is pure, but your flesh just sins.
There's an order. I'm answering your question, but you got to listen to what I'm saying. We trying to cover conversion. That's why I kept saying in the beginning of the show, if you don't understand what conversion is, you're going to end up mixing it up, and it's going to confuse you. It's more people that's not born again in the body. We haven't even gotten into the word set. We ain't even gotten to the scriptures yet, because the Ruach was telling me when we went on the break, he said, Mikael, they got to understand conversion, what that is. Because if you don't understand, you got to understand, we've been indoctrinated with this stuff and accepted it as fact without studying this stuff.
Gotcha, brother. I gotcha, brother. So, but I got heavy questions for you.
Listen, I promise you, everybody, that's the beginning. When you coming out of a culture environment of a religious assembly where you've been told don't question God, just believe it, well, most people stop right there. I ain't never been that way. Mm. I was stubborn. You can be stubborn,
right,
you
can
be a good type of stubborn. I was stubborn. I wasn't
right
stubborn.
On, brother.
Okay, well, he can't tell me, I'm going to find out some other type of way. I went on my
Gotcha. Brother Mikael, I like that you're sharing on the show and stuff, and I want you to come back to give some more of that, okay? My platform is right here, man, for you to, man, get out whatever lessons that you want to bring and all of that. We usually operate in a two-hour window. Like right now, we done went over, and it's all good. We can keep going over. But that's 2 hours to get out a lot of information, and we got to, you know, somehow compact it to where we can get out and ask questions at the same time. You know what I'm saying? So being that we done talked about conversion, hit on that a little bit. Hold on, brother.
Okay.
As far as what you're speaking that we – got a new heart right now, those that believe in Christ, listening to what Paul had said. No, don't get me wrong. I love Paul, okay? But Paul is not my foundation. I kind of use him as my higher learning about the spiritual. But my foundation is the prophets in the Old Testament and all the other apostles that's in Jerusalem, you know. That's my foundation. You know what I mean? And Paul, I use him for that higher learning, right? Not my base, but my higher learning. So the reality is that stony heart is what breaks commandments. And the spirit and flesh, they together. We're in this body. And the spirit controls the body, right? So... with that being said, it's that heart, that stony heart that gets us the error, right? And that is what we still have, right? And so when we go against the devil, you know what I'm saying, we resist him, he'll flee away. Christ is that bubble around us, helping us protect us, you know what I'm saying, give us the strength to resist those temptations. See what I'm saying? But when you say we ain't got it, I'm for one that don't. I believe that we all sin some every day. I don't think there's not one of us on here that ain't got sin on them, man. I mean, I'm be honest with you. I don't. If you was to tell me you ain't got no sin on you, I'm gonna look at you like I'm not trying to hear it. You know what I'm saying? I won't believe you. I'm just saying, because as long as we got sin on us. That means somewhere along the line in your day, you did something to break one of these commandments, man. And, you know, if we use Christ, that's why at the end of the day, we should say, ask him to forgive us for our sins. You know what I'm saying? And he's become that animal sacrifice for us to cover our sins. And that is the method that we have been engaged through Christ. But once he closed the marriage chamber, now we're in the new covenant. That stony heart is replaced. Now that very in us that make us want to sin is gone. That temptation, it's no longer, bam. So to say we already there now and that we already got all this in the spiritual manner now, I'm not saying I don't. I mean, I feel what you're saying, because that's how we should live our life. So it's a spiritual something we can look to, you know, strive for in our daily walk now. You know what I'm saying? But it seems like when you quote from Paul, there's something that's Israelites. We can hear what's being told to Gentiles, okay, because they're not under no covenant, no law, nothing. They spiritually, everything about them is coming spiritual avenue. So I see what's being told to them. I can try to apply what's being told to them to myself and learn a little bit. But right down here in Jerusalem, what's being taught to us is to fight them, fight that devil, resist. And at the end of the day, repent for whatever you did wrong for the day. And that's that liberty in Christ. You know what I'm saying? That's how you can still live your life trying to walk as Christ-like as you possibly can. But where you fall short at, Christ got your back. That's what's being taught in Jerusalem. Now, what's being taught in Rome, what's being taught in Galatia to the, you know, the folks there, is all seem like all spiritual and things. And it's to a Jew, to an Israelite down in Jerusalem, that sounds a little funny, right? We can see in scriptures where they have problems with stuff that Paul said, you know what I'm saying? Okay? So, you know what I mean? And it's still problematic even today. Because I think a lot of us want to accept Paul's teaching as the Bible. They say the Bible said, you know. They don't want to say that the apostle to the Gentiles said this. They want to say the Bible said it, right? And that throws you off, because now you're thinking, well, is the prophet that said it? You don't know. Yeah, but I'm going to just stop right there. I'll let y'all go ahead and speak, man. But that's where I'm at, though, Brother Mickey L. You know what I'm saying, with Paul? I understand it. Wanted to aspire to be a teacher, to be able to teach any and everybody, I want to walk like Paul did, so I can explain my Hebrew Israelite walk in a spiritual manner to especially the Gentile world. Because I want Christ. We all need Christ. So I want to explain my walk, but in a spiritual way, because I'm not trying to put the dietary on them. I'm not trying to put the ceremonial and things like that on them. So everything about me is talking about my morals, how to walk upright with Christ, and in a spiritual matter for them, so they too can be walk like Christ. You know what I'm saying? And I'm spreading that gospel to the world, so I'm a worldwide teacher of it. That's how I look at Paul, as a higher learning. But go ahead, brother. I'll let y'all speak.
So
hey, I want to say I want to
from Paul,
brother Mickey.
Okay.
I want to give one scripture, and then you can have it after this. John, I want to go to John 3:34. I want to read that right quick.
John 3.
This is gonna be my last one.
Right. I read it.
Go ahead, read it.
Yeah, I done pulled over and everything. You said what now, John? What? You said First John?
No, John.
Okay, First
John
3:34. Okay.
No,
3
Saint John.
And
Saint
34.
Saint John. Yes. Saint
okay,
John.
3 and 34, right? 3 and 34.
Yeah.
It says, "For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him."
So
all
that
right.
Means that Christ had the Spirit at full measure. Without measure, he never sinned
uh-huh.
Not one time when he was on this earth. So we don't have the Spirit without measure. We don't have the first fruits of the Spirit. We don't have all of it. We're not gonna have all of it until Christ come back, until we get that glorified body. See, Christ had he had the Spirit at full measure. That's why he was able to beat the devil at his own game. He was able to deal with the devil. See. Because he said all power was given to me in heaven and earth. So he was the only one to have the Spirit at full measure. He had the Spirit without measure. You know, so I just wanted to point that out. We don't have the Spirit at full measure right now. We only have some of it. We don't have all of it. Because if we had all of it, we wouldn't be in captivity. We'll be free. So it's still things that need to have to work out prophecy still have to come forward. You know what I'm saying?
Right on, right on.
We have to be free.
Yeah, yeah.
We have to be free. We have to be free from this captivity. We still in a captivity right now. I'm talking about a physical captivity. Now we might be free in the spiritual, but in a physical sense, we still bound by these nations. They still ruling over us.
Right, right.
So that's all I got.
Gotcha.
That's all I got to say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Christ is definitely walking in the full spirit. He didn't have no measure to him at all. He was under a commandment to shed his blood for many, you know. And he went through that, and he successfully did what was commanded of him, and he shed his blood. You know what I'm saying? And by that we enter into what we call a new covenant. All right. But however, the new covenant it was like an engagement. All right, and it doesn't really come fulfilled until he comes back. But what we get by being engaged with him, we got the Holy Spirit, you know, the Comforter is with us, and we can use Christ for our sacrificial lamb, all right, to cover our sin. See what I'm saying? But we're still under the old covenant, you know what I'm saying, until he gets back. Because that's, it's ready to wax away. All right, that's my understanding where we at right now. So I'm coming
okay,
from that
so
point of view. You see what I'm saying?
I know exactly where you're coming from, and I need to address that. So, I know what you're saying, but I want to make sure I ask you this question. So what you're saying when Christ comes back, you're talking about when he comes in the air, right? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Explain
yeah.
what you mean when you
yeah,
say
when he...
When Christ come back.
The day of the Lord. Him setting up Jerusalem here on earth.
Okay, so what you're missing, now I see what you're missing. And I thought that's what you were missing. You're missing the whole thing that I was trying to lay out. If you do what you're saying, how you're understanding doing that, Michael. You're gonna be sent away, man. When the scripture talks about the reward, and I know, and I get it if you don't get it right now, but hopefully you'll get it later on. I just ain't got a chance to go into it because I've been trying to put emphasis on what conversion is. But you cannot wait to die and wait for Christ to come back because he's gonna send you away.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta
right. I understand.
Okay,
you
I need
have
to get
to
this part.
Old, while you are alive, you got to meet the Son while you are alive. And I'm gonna get into the third.
Hold
but
yeah,
let's go ahead and wrap this up.
I don't want to let you go, knowing that you just said I'm gonna be sent away when I meet Christ. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to let you go. With that being said, like that, okay.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
All right. Okay.
Oh,
okay.
Jesus.
But, Kenny.
You know,
oh,
because you're, because by, basically you're saying that I don't have Christ.
Oh, Jesus.
You know what I'm saying?
Michael.
Oh, Jesus.
Michael.
Is it just me that got that, or did you understand? Okay.
Go ahead. That's exactly what I was saying.
Okay.
That's
now
exactly,
tell me
that's,
how
why
I ain't got Christ.
Okay. What I'm humbly asking you to do right now, it's okay if you don't get it just yet, right? It's okay. But the blessing is, you want to get it, and you will. We may be off the air, and you start studying it, and the ruach hit you. And a light turn on. Oh,
I hear you. But what I need to read to get Christ, man? I need you to get right to it.
Hey,
so we coming to a close.
What I'm gonna need for you to do at this point, brother, is study what conversion is.
Once you understand, I believe I'm already converted. Okay.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
The point. So at conversion, you ain't got Christ. Nobody has. Now,
nobody has Christ.
Nope.
Okay. How you know when you got Christ, brother?
That's the whole purpose why we getting into that. Because.
All right. Explain it right quick.
The lie is, once you believe, person will say, I got Christ. I'm born again. I'm finna go to heaven. My name is written in the Lamb Book of Life.
Mm-hmm.
And since I've been on the show, I'm teaching the whole opposite of that because that's the lie.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying.
You understand?
Do you, Brother Arnold?
So what I'm saying is to you, Brother Micah, or anybody else that's thinking that way, it's blessed is your ears to hear, because let me tell you something, man. Everybody might not get this the first time they hear, but when we start going, and them lights going to start going up. Oh, remember when I said, once you get this, you're going to feel some type of way. Remember I said that?
Gotcha. Right. I felt that Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I know
brother.
You
I have
got
felt
it,
that before.
But that's okay.
Yeah.
When we start building on this thing, it's going to hit you. You're going to be like, I'm telling you now. I don't see it.
All right, well, next, we've got to, let's talk about
tomorrow.
What
happened
tomorrow
with me, though? What happened
what
with
is
me?
Yeah,
time?
Yeah, let's finish up tomorrow at 5.
We can do that. Let me finish giving the scriptures on conversion. Okay, let me do that for the audience. And we'll pick back up on this tomorrow. That way, they'll be able to have a chance to read them and at least did some study. You too, Michael.
Can you just quote the scriptures?
I'm just going to quote the scriptures. And then we'll go over tomorrow. And then we'll start getting into the scriptures and start breaking stuff down. Because we're finna get into the scriptures now.
Yes.
I know you've been hearing me talk.
Okay, okay.
We're finna get into them.
Yeah.
All right, so here we go.
We've been hearing you talk,
brother. I gave you Psalms 19:7, just starting over, 51:13, which we went over that, Isaiah 1:27, chapter 1:27, we went over that, Isaiah 6:10, we didn't go over that. Isaiah 60:5. That's your Old Testament, or that's the Tanakh. Now, for the New Testament, or the Brit Hadashah. And then in the times of the New Testament, Matthew 13:15. So Matthew chapter 13, verse 15, and chapter 18, verse 3. That's Matthew. Mark 4:12, chapter 22, verse 32. John of Yehuchanan, chapter 12, verse 40. The book of Acts of the Apostles, or the Ruach, chapter 3:19. And we're going to go over them. Acts 15:3. Acts 28:27. And James, or Yaakov, chapter 5:19-20. And we're going to get into it, and I do want to say this to those who are able to, bring your pen and paper. Get ready to take some notes, because we're going to get into this thing, because I already know we got to spend time on what conversion is and understanding that when you're converted, everybody come in, you ain't got Christ. You ain't born again and you ain't saved. You're not.
Okay.
Okay. A person can be converted
okay,
for a year. And I know it sounds like
hey, Brother Michael,
but I can
before you go,
up,
can you at least just tell me what's it like being saved? Because are you saved? Can you tell me
what's it like
being saved?
I'm close. I'm very close. I'm very, 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 very close.
Okay.
Because what people have to understand is you don't have no control over your salvation. The only thing you have control over is turning to the Son, obeying Him, and searching Him out. The Ruach HaKodesh has to do the work on the inner heart. When Yahuwah says about chastisement, every son whom He receives, He what? He corrects, right? He chastises, right? And any son that does not receive this correction or chastisement is a bastard son. So coming in, you ain't got Christ because you got to go through a correction process. A check like a father does with his son. So you don't get the reward until the correction process is finished.
When is it finished?
When Yahuwah,
when you die,
sovereign, when he's ready to think that he got you at a point where now he gonna send his son, and then then Christ gonna offer you eternal life. We don't like to hear that
on the day of the Lord.
We like to be in control. That'll be your day of the Lord when Christ comes, because He's gonna give you salvation while you're alive.
Hey, okay. Hey, Brother Mike, I want to read a scripture before we go.
Okay,
before we go.
Well,
before we close.
All right.
Okay.
Can you read it for me, Brother Michael? Philippians. Philippians 3, verse 12 to 16.
All right, this is Paul to the Philippians. All right, 12 all the way down to where?
To 16.
What chapter?
It's chapter 3, verse 12 to 16.
Okay, we
deal. This is dealing with salvation too. Now, this is what Paul said. Go ahead, Brother Barton.
Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. All right.
Now Paul said he haven't attained salvation. He said he haven't attained salvation already, but he's pressing towards that mark. So we don't have it right now. We're pressing towards that mark. We're trying to, like you say, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. So we're working out our salvation
right.
In fear and trembling. Just like the other brothers. Just like Brother Mikhail said. A chastisement. We're going through a chastising process. We got to endure like Christ did. So I do agree on everything you said, brother.
Right.
That's all I have to say.
Okay. Yeah. So in other words, to the Philippians, Paul is giving our Hebrew Israelite walk after Christ. He's explaining it to the Philippians. You understand? The same thing that's been taught elsewhere is he's on the same team with the other apostles as just the audience, as I'm thinking different. That's all. But, yeah, I definitely can dig that. That's exactly where I'm at. That's a good scripture, Brother Ronald. Go ahead, Brother Mikhail.
Yeah, I want Yeah, I'm going to get into you, Brother Michael, for your encouragement. We encourage each other. So you can continue to press forward, Brother Michael. Continue to press on.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
All right, Hallelujah. We all should continue, though. Because I don't want to think that it's just me who's lacking Christ or something.
No.
Because I believe
I
got it, y'all.
I'm talking about,
okay.
I'm talking about all of us, yeah.
All right, because I hear what Brother Mickey is saying, and he's my elder, man. He got a lot more years, but I can't help but my little foundation that I got. It's rubbing me the wrong way a little bit. I'm eager to hear more from Brother Mickey, and I got some questions for you, brother.
Okay.
All right, but it's all in love, and I want to have him back on the show. All right, go ahead, Brother Mickey.
Before you leave, let me read this to the audience. We can do it again tomorrow, but sometime, because I know everybody don't have this in their hand. But just to cover conversion, and we're going to go over this tomorrow, and we're going to go into the scripture, and then we're going to go into what Christ had to say in the Old Testament and stuff. So let me just say this. Two ideas seem to underline the employment of the term, which is what conversion is, namely, number one, the act of turning to Yahuwah. This is what conversion is. This is the definition of conversion. The act of turning to Yahuwah. Number two, the act is a human one rather than a divine act. The difference, divine act means you're born again, that coming from the Son revealing himself and the Father. A human act is a mind change or conversion. Now, conversion is set forth as the act of an individual turning to Yahuwah and to his Son. In the Revised Version, the verb is changed from the passive to the active voice. Thus, lest they be converted, read, lest they turn. In a study of this theme, the Revised Version should always be consulted, seeing it enables one to fix the precise meaning of the term and also define its relation to regeneration. Suffice it to say, at this point, that regeneration and conversion are distinct yet indissolubly connected. Regeneration is Yahuwah's act in the soul, and once accomplished, can never be repeated. Meaning, when Yahusha comes and gives you eternal life, you are secure in him. Ain't no backsliding. Your name is written in the Lamb Book of Life, and you can't lose your salvation. When you're converted, you ain't got salvation to lose. Because you can backslide, depending on where you're at on the walk. You can backslide, come back in, whatever. We have that all the time in church. You understand? In the assembly. So I'm going to stop right there, and we'll pick up tomorrow on this. And if we got to spend time on it, we'll spend time on it until everybody gets it. And I wish a caller could call in, because that would be great, too. So that's all I got for right now.
All right.
I think it's been plenty given, too.
Right on, brother. But I just got to say, man, that, I got some real heavy questions for you, brother. Because I do desire that we all be on the same page, man. I do desire that. But you know, I came to the conclusion that I guess, you know, we all just going to kind of be, I have our own little separate understanding, but we should still meet up in the same place, you know what I'm saying? And that's holding Christ forward. Because I definitely believe I'm being led by the Holy Spirit, and I definitely accepted Christ into my heart. And my prayers, I got Christ in them to the Father. you know what I'm saying, to forgive me for my sins. But my definition of what salvation is two parts to it. One is the physical, and the other one is the spiritual. You know what I'm saying? Physical meaning being saved from my enemies, being delivered from these nations back to my homeland. You know what I mean? Resting in peace. And that spiritual is being saved with Christ and guaranteed that I can be with Christ in that spiritual place. You know what I'm saying? Forever in his kingdom, in God's kingdom. That's salvation to me. You know what I mean? So for the Gentiles, that would be salvation to them. Also, to be not, well, technically it's not necessarily sin for them, but they are ordered to, you know, a moral law, moral. They, you know, that is still a sin to them if they do, you know, and be immoral. But that is the whole reason of that thousand-year spanking, because they're not under it technically. You know what I'm saying? They spiritually got to abide by it, but they technically is not under it. So they will be under it, and that's why they're going to get that spanking in the future. But, yeah, that spiritual is what comes after that thousand, being tempted to like you just said, go like a dog back to his vomit. There's some noise in somebody's background. All right. So, but anyway, y'all, I enjoyed this talk, and there's still so much more I want to get out and, man, conversate with Brother Mickey L, man. It's good having a different voice on the show, a different opinion. And I've ran across a couple of brothers that kind of opinion on things, man. I can't wait to hear other subjects like the virgin birth and things like that. I would love to also get into that with you, brother. There's other topics too as well that I wouldn't mind topping it up with you, man, on the show. So, yeah, we can do it tomorrow. Tomorrow, and we normally read books on Mondays and Thursdays. So we're gonna try to work it out to where we can at least finish out the third Maccabees. I think it's only one chapter we got to read, and we can start talking about, you know, this subject tomorrow as well. All right, and yeah, Mickey L, don't be a stranger to the show. You're always welcome. Same to you, Brother Ronald. And I'm gonna put everybody on hold. Oh, before I do. I want everybody to get their last, anything they want to say out, the last few words, and then I'm going to come to a close on the show, y'all. All right. We go round robin. Brother Ronald, you want to go first?
I just want to say shalom to everybody, and let's have a blessed week, and let's keep our faith in Christ, and let's press toward the mark of the high calling. Jesus said,
okay,
in this world, you're going to have tribulations, but be of good cheer, I'll overcome the world. So he didn't say it was going to be easy, but we can overcome if we put our faith in Christ and keep his commandments. Amen.
Oh, amen, amen. All right, all right. Brother Miguel?
Yeah, I just want to say I appreciate the invite, number one, and you know, want to give praise to Yahuwah and to his son and the Ruach that he opened up everyone's understanding so we may all be on the same page here, because, you know, and that's the goal and purpose, to understand, you know, why he came and to make sure that we're not reprobates and that we're not sent away. But other than that, that's all I got to say. May Yahuwah keep everybody, guard everybody. You know, in your prayers and whatever you're doing. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right, put you on the hold. I'm going to play a little outro song, everybody. And I hope everybody listen to it and enjoy it. And until next time, y'all, we're going to get on out of here. It's Brother Mickey L, guest, and Brother Ronald. Man, I hope they come on back, man. All right, here we go, y'all. We're going to play a little jam. And let's play Blue Sky. I really love that song. Let's leave it out with Blue Sky.
What you making in the sky, my king, king? Is that New Jerusalem I see? See, you giving sight to the blind, my king. Your children can't wait till you come down, my king, 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 yeah. Prophecy coming to pass. Psychological war when the chosen is ending fast. Don't ever stop short, your head might just go through the glass. Buy the truth and sell it not, it's the most valuable thing you have. Liars gonna hate you, manipulators, they gonna say you trash. Cowards gonna comment on your posts on fake pages, just laugh. You blessed when people call you evil for the sake of Yah. His love is inconceivable, they put away my crimes. He lead his sheep by the still waters and turn the lakes to wine. So many prayers, how does mine deserve a response? That's a gift, it's no boasting in being chosen. But should be most since you got a rule, remain a discipline and focus. If you bow out, then it's hopeless, don't terminate your devotion. Demons destroy peace with commotion, sit by the ocean. Don't get peeled up when it feel rough, get built up in the spirit. Part of me as I tilt my cup, I'm trying to fill you up with these lyrics, yeah. What the Most High making in that blue sky? A new heaven for you and I.
Calm down.
A new heaven for you and I.
Calm down.
New Jerusalem make me wanna cry. Yeah, and my faith ain't up for debate. Transparency is the topic of discussion when I pray. And apparently, I was 8 when destiny start taking shape. Yeah, I stepped into this place with a recipe for the hate. I love my neighbor like I love myself and bless him with a plate. And like Jonathan's revelation, it was a scroll that we just ate. I'm in a solar power state and I'm melanated by grace. Who knows, today could be the day he blows the trumpet in our face. Could be the end and then beginning like Esau and Jacob. It'd be the beginning of the end once we decide to wake up. Stop pulling these capers, chewing on raisins, touching up faces. Like makeup, back to the basics, throwing on ASICs, dipping on Satan, running them up. My father the greatest, creator of the sun that's above. Got too many haters, you hate cause it's the shade that you love. Don't do me no favors, my faith is in the rock of ages. When I'm on these stages, I'm faceless, he get all the praises. Salute. What you making in the sky, my king, king? Is that New Jerusalem I see, see? You giving sight to the blind, my king. Your children can't wait till you come down, my king, king. What the Most High making in that blue sky? A new heaven for you and I.
Calm down.
A new heaven for you and I.
Calm down.
A new heaven for you and I.